Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Expro India Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. C. Bhaskar, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhaskar.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I trust you and your families are keeping safe and healthy. I extend a very warm welcome to all participants to this Q4 and FY22 financial results discussion. I am C. Bhaskar, the Managing Director of Expro India Limited. Today on this call, I have with me Mr. Vinay Aggarwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Dhanuka, Company Secretary, and Mr. H. Bakshi, who heads our technical and is our Chief Operating Officer. I am particularly happy to have the attendance of our Chairman, Shri Siddharth Birla, who wishes to hear our interactions firsthand. Orient Capital, our investor relations partner, is coordinating this session. As you are kindly aware, this is the first time that we at Expro India Limited are hosting an earnings conference call for our investment community. Of course, with an intent of keeping our investors and analysts familiar with and updated about developments in our businesses. We have had opportunity to meet some of you at our annual general meetings or otherwise, but we are interacting with many of you for the first time. To my mind, thus, it would be worthwhile to dwell a bit on our company and brief you also about the products we manufacture and their applications. I trust this would be helpful to all participants. I must state that all discussions here will be within boundaries reasonably imposed by the company's strategic and competitive position. Expro India Limited is a diversified, multi-divisional, multi-locational company with an abiding commitment to polymers processing and with strong governance standards in its management and operations. Established as a separate entity via a corporate demerger in 1998, the units comprising Expro India Limited have long been in existence, giving us over 37 years' experience in the extrusion and co-extrusion fields. The company is a family-led and professionally managed arm of India's largest and very reputed industrial house, the Birla family, and currently has its manufacturing facilities in Greater Noida in Uttar Pradesh, Ranjangaon near Pune in Maharashtra, and Barjora near Durgapur in West Bengal. Before I dwell into the business segments, it's important for me to mention that Expro India is not a packaging materials company, as is often presumed, but is a specialist manufacturer of polymer-based films and sheets servicing niche areas with two business verticals, namely our BIAT and our COEX divisions. To answer an oft-asked question, the word Expro itself symbolizes extrusion process, and likewise, our two verticals are named on the technical processes they excel in. BIAT division being an acronym for biaxially oriented, and the COEX division standing for the co-extrusion processes. The two divisions have built up special skills and competencies in the specialized field of co-extrusion, with application in the manufacture of oriented films, multilayer plastic sheets, and multilayer cast plastic films. Thermoforming capabilities are supporting downstream processes for our films and sheets respectively. Our results for the financial year 2021-22, together with the quarterly results, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange portals, and our annual report has also been made available. I trust you have had an opportunity to go through these and our investor deck and press release that we have uploaded on exchanges and on the company's website. I will now elaborate on each division in a little bit more detail. The Coax division. Our Coax division mainly manufactures co-extruded sheets and liners for the consumer durables, basically the white goods industry. Our Coax manufacturing facilities are based at Greater Noida in UP and Ranjangaon in Maharashtra, in strategic proximity to major refrigerator producing units. Within the Coax division, we also manufacture at Ranjangaon specialty cast co-extruded films catering to the hygiene and auto industry, very diverse industries. These specialty films are tailor-made for application in sanitary napkins, disposable diapers, additive incontinent products, and in the tire and tread industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. Line for the management dropped. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. Sir, you may continue.
Thank you. Sorry for that call, Rob. Over the years, this division has established itself as the leading supplier of co-extruded sheets and liners to the refrigerator industry and has evolved into the dominant player, highly respected, having painstakingly built a high market share in OEM supplies to the refrigerator industry. Our client base encompasses leading Indian and multinational companies. The Indian refrigerator industry itself has been growing consistently and has attracted many global players to set up manufacturing facilities in India aimed at the domestic and export markets. With large Indian companies also entering this field, India is emerging as a hub for refrigerator manufacturing due to increasing localization compulsions and levels. The PLI schemes of the government are expected to give this segment a further boost. The policy of encouraging domestic manufacturing and a changing customer preference and channel proliferation are also positive for this industry and thus for our company. Expo is also looking to leverage the relationship with white good manufacturers to expand its product portfolio under the Coax segment. Coming to the Biax division. The Biax division manufactures dielectric capacitor films with a nominal annual capacity of 4,000 tons located at Barjora, West Bengal. We were and continue to be the only manufacturer of dielectric films in India, meeting about 30 to 33% of domestic needs, with the entire balance being met through imports. Capacitors are an essential component in conceivably all areas of electrical application, electricity transmission, distribution, all types of electrical and electronic appliances, and consumer goods, computers, cars, industrial electrical equipment, etc. We believe that with the changing landscape and increasing power consumption and expansion of all kinds of electrical and electronic goods, the demand for capacitors will automatically grow significantly, and the demand for the dielectric capacitor films should grow with it. We believe there is a huge new opportunity in sunrise applications, particularly in the EV segment, with multiple capacitor application in e-mobility, convenience and safety systems, including power control unit inverter circuits, DC link power capacitors, SAS top systems, high-intensity discharge xenon lamps, passive key entry systems, pressure monitoring systems, driver information and entertainment systems, climatization, airbag, braking systems, etc. And we are confident that the company has positioned itself to grab the emerging opportunities arising from the above changes. A further impetus from PLI schemes and import restrictions for the component ecosystem would enhance the market in this segment. India is evolving as a base for component manufacture for global markets, and capacitors would be one of the early components in this segment. Besides this, Expo exports to established customers in the developed markets. It would be interesting to understand that in any capacitor, an average of between 50 to 60% of their total cost breakup is the dielectric film that we will be supplying. So you can see that we are critical to the capacitor's existence. To address rising demand, our company has announced its intention to pursue material expansion of capacity by adding new manufacturing lines for dielectric and other technical grades of biaxially oriented PT films. The first phase of expansion would double capacity at our existing facility in Barjora, West Bengal, to be followed by a second phase either in Barjora or another appropriate location. This initiative would help us consolidate the company's domestic first mover advantage in this high-tech segment and the position as a quality value-add producer so as to achieve a globally worthy standing in supplying state-of-the-art dielectric film products and intelligent solutions. Our technical expertise, supported by excellent in-house R&D facilities, enables regular successful development of new range of films for specialized industrial applications. I would like to repeat that Expro has the first mover advantage in the manufacture of dielectric capacitor films in the country. Around the time, I would also add that around the time our operations first started, the government had been nurturing the electronics industry and thus reduced duties on imported dielectric films to almost negligible or zero. We were hit by a classic inverted duty structure, where our potential customers could import dielectric films free of duty while we paid full import duties on our raw materials and then competed against the zero duty imports. It took much time and effort for the government to address the issue, but then they did, and that's when Expro India's inherent competitiveness could be brought into play. Before 2016-17, when this change happened, one could see the stresses reflected in our historic P&L accounts. Today, the playing field is far more level and we are strong competitors on merits. On the export front, the company is already exporting dielectric and specialized films to advanced and developed markets like the USA and Germany, which are markets with rigorous technical requirements. There are only a few manufacturers of thin dielectric films globally with capability to deliver superior product quality. Our products are well recognized, well accepted and approved by many customers globally. With the expansion of capacity, the company would be in a position to cater to the global markets. And the company is looking to target global markets with value-added products. Incidentally, sheets for refrigerator applications and task co-extruded films are also exported to neighboring countries. Turning now to the fourth quarter performance, the consolidated revenues for the quarter stood at rupees 143 crores versus rupees 148 crores in Q4 FY21, registering a prima facie degrowth of 3.2% on a Y-on-Y basis. It is important, however, to appreciate that our product mix is diverse and dynamic, and therefore a simplistic view on the rupee value alone does not always reflect the volume of activity. Raw material increases during the quarter could generally be recovered through our pass-through strategy, coupled with an improved product customer mix and a value addition focused strategy, overall margins could be scaled up. Biax division reported a revenue growth of almost 24% and a production growth, a revenue growth of about 24% in Q4 compared to Q4 FY21. We continue to see sustained demand for Expro Biax dielectric films, with our market share remaining over 30%, with the balance being met by imports. Coax division's market moderated somewhat in Q4 due to commodity price increases and shortages resulting from geopolitical considerations and the lockdowns in China, which pushed up consumer durable prices. This also reflected in the slight lull in consumer durable markets in mid-February and March 2022, even as the markets were reviving from the Omicron impact. Coax division revenue in the quarter was down by 12% Y-on-Y, reflecting this scenario. Exports during the quarter registered a significant growth of 70% and stood at a little over 5 crores against 3 crores in the corresponding quarter in the previous year. The consolidated EBITDA for Q4 FY22 at 17.2 crores was slightly higher than the EBITDA in Q4 FY2021, which stood at 17.5 crores, translating into a higher EBITDA margin for Q4 22 at 12.1% compared to the corresponding previous quarter of 11.9%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 17.5 crores versus 9.6 crores in Q4 FY21. PAT margins for the quarter were at 12.2%. Now considering the full year FY22 performance. FY22 consolidated revenues stood at Rs. 471.7 crores against Rs. 373.4 crores in the previous year, registering a Y-on-Y growth of 26.3%. Revenues from the Biax segment grew 42.6% to a little over 129 crores. Revenues from the Coax segment increased about 18% to Rs. 334 crores. Revenues from export increased almost two and a half times from Rs. 9.5 crores in FY21 to Rs. 22.6 crores in FY22. EBITDA saw a growth of 58.4% Y-on-Y and stood at 63.8 crores. Our EBITDA margin for FY22 was 13.5% compared to 10.8% in the previous year. Profit after tax stood at Rs. 44.9 crores versus Rs. 8.4 crores in FY21. PAT margin for FY22 was 9.5% as compared to 2.2% in the previous year. Debt reduction, including prepayment during the year, was Rs. 45.8 crores. For FY22, the net debt to equity stood at 0.4 and delivered a healthy ROE of 34.3% and a return on capital employed of 22.5%. The board has recommended a dividend of Rs. 2 per equity share and also recommended issue of bonus equity shares in the ratio of 1:2. Record dates as required have been announced. With this, I open the floor for question and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. first question is from the line of Sahil Sharma from SS Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Given that there are many players in these co-extruded and biaxial divisions in India, we wanted to understand sort of the competitive intensity and how it is that we have managed to be the first dielectric film manufacturer in India and why our competition has not been able to catch up with us. For example, from what we know, Jindal Poly has been sort of trying to work on this. I think in 2018 they have announced that they were trying to work on it. And what are the barriers to entry here? Why can't our competitors also set up these dielectric film kind of units?
Yeah. Thank you, Payal. Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm audible, right? Okay. Thank you, Payal. Very, very relevant, very interesting question. But and the competitive barriers and the competitive landscape is very different for the two businesses, so I will take them separately. In the first instance, considering the BIAC division, while there are manufacturers in India, they are all manufacturers of packaging-grade BOPP film. Now, fundamentally, packaging-grade BOPP film and dielectric capacitor BOPP film, except for the similarity in the name BOPP and maybe loosely the technical process adopted, are not really one and the same. The equipment is different, the raw material process are different, the process parameters are different, so they are not really comparable. The thicknesses are different, the handling systems are different, the typical capacity sizes are different, and really speaking, there is no direct linkage between a line that produces BOPP packaging film and a line that produces BOPP for capacitor applications. So that is your first point. And when I say this, I include things like the atmosphere in the plant, the equipment, the process, the way the materials are handled. Every element is really speaking different. So other raw materials. Now, when you say polypropylene, it's a very, very broad term, and it covers a number of materials which have very, very different properties, very, very different sourcing, very, very different, even manufacturing, even the way polypropylene is manufactured is different for certain applications, the polymerization process itself. Now, if the barriers to entry are really speaking many. Now, if you take, of course, one of the major barriers is capital, which is not an issue for some of the people, for the people whom you name. But very important are the skill, the technology, the process, the know-how, the recipes, and importantly, an appropriate consolidation of each of these elements. Equally important also is the fact that the equipment needs to be specially designed. There are many technical parameters into it, which is probably not the right place to go into. But there are many technical parameters which are different. So you will really see that the lines are different. So there are extreme barriers to entry. Another important barrier to entry is the time it takes to introduce and launch a successful capacitor film for various applications. There are a number of, there are very, very few manufacturers in the world who have been able to really establish themselves over the years. And I'm happy to say that Expro itself is probably among the top five in the world in the development and application of this field. Now, coming to the Coex application, the barriers there are different. The important issue in that business is the linkages that one has built up with the customers over time through development of special products for them, processing of different materials to different specifications for them, and delivering products with a very, very high success rate and a very, very low rejection rate. I think these are important parameters, and we have built relationships with the white goods industry over time, which have actually stood the test of time, and we have a significant market share in that area too. But I would also like to emphasize that, Payal, that really speaking, the two businesses are different, the competitive strengths and advantages are different. They are broadly linked only by the fact that both are co-exclusion processes. Does that sort of answer your question, ma'am?
Sir, could you give some very rough idea about, you know, for example, specifically since you mentioned the auto industry, we know that this IATF certification that is required itself takes a lot of effort. What I'm trying to understand is how much time does it take to develop these kind of supply chains where we have to become a part of some capacitor maker which can then be provided to, you know, OEMs for their battery management system or motor control unit. Like, what is the kind of lead time or development time, testing time that is required? That is for us to understand how easy or hard it is for any competitor to develop this film in the future.
Ma'am, to develop this film, to make it acceptable, particularly for rigorous applications, takes months, in fact years. We have the advantage that we started developing these products years ago, actually on a converted line where we could do the bottom end of the capacitor business and have over time improved our film. The testing application approval time takes long because A, the film has to be developed. It goes through very rigorous testing, often destructive testing, which is time consuming. The capacitor itself, once approved, once the capacitor manufacturer approves the film, the capacitor itself has to go on to the end user, automotive industry or whichever, because there's a rigorous application and undergoes another time consuming process. So yes, you're right, it takes very long, and this is a significant barrier. It could take a couple of years. Often more, oftentimes more. You know, you must also remember that these are commercial producers who are not too amenable to stopping their production runs to take runs for trials, you know. So a trial itself becomes a low priority even for the customer itself, adding to the time.
Thank you so much. My next question.
Your question? Sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to come back in the question queue, please? Thank you.
Okay.
A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Parmar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes.
So this material capacity expansion that we are doing in the dielectric capacitor films, so I suppose it takes around 2 to 4 years. That is what is mentioned in the annual report. So has the process started yet? Because it doesn't seem to be reflected in a capital WIP. And what is the total capex outlay and how it will be funded?
Right. Okay, let me answer this question in a little bit of depth as to what our intent is. See, we had already announced our intent to pursue material expansion of capacity. We have followed up that intent with action. Now, just 2 weeks ago, we had outlined in our annual report the practical timeline and that there has been no occasion so far to revise this. At our end, effective steps towards implementation are identified, including layout, site preparation, some advance payments, and physical work will also begin soon, right after the monsoon season. Management is fully alive in trying to compact the schedules to the optimum level possible in an overall global circumstance. Now, we are intending to add manufacturing lines for dielectric and other technical grades in phases. The first phase of double capacity at Barjora, followed by a second phase either at Barjora or another location. Yes, and totally this will take, this will span to between 2 to 4 years, fundamentally because of long equipment delivery periods.
Okay, so this double capacity expansion, maybe it will be reflected in our numbers in FY 25-26. Is my understanding correct?
Okay, as we said, it's 2 to 4 years from when we made the announcement for two lines in stages.
Okay. I just had a doubt with respect to what is the EBITDA margins for these two divisions, if you just highlight for FY 22.
Okay, the capex are high. for the two businesses are very different. Now, the CapEx is high in the case of the dielectric films business, and the CapEx is lower in the case of the coax business. Therefore, the EBITDA margins sort of reflect that. The EBITDA margins for the dielectric division are far higher than what they are for the coax division. Perhaps from a competitive and a market viewpoint, it may not be correct for me to dwell onto that breakup in a call of this nature.
Okay, right. Thank you.
But suffice it to say that the margins are working towards our ROCE target, so this should not be a concern.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Navandar from Sampada Investments.
Sorry, I didn't get that name.
Suraj Navandar from Sampada Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Suraj.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
So what is our current capacity utilization levels in the both the divisions?
Okay, again a little tricky question in the coax division. But first let me answer the biax division. In the biax division, our capacity utilization is 100% plus. Now, we are sharpening our abilities through whatever rationalization we can do and whatever tweaking we can do to tweak out some more output. So time-wise, we had actually hit capacity utilization of 100% even in the previous year. Last year still, but through tweaking and through some balancing changes at our end, we were able to produce 15% more. But the capacity utilization is 100%. Now, if I look at, when I say that, it means that whatever we can churn out extra is through intelligence and not through sheer machine capability. Now, if I take the coax, it's a little tricky. Because in the coax business, by definition, is subject to seasonal variances. I mean, you can imagine that refrigerators like ACs would sell more in certain seasons, less in certain seasons. And nowadays, with the refrigerator industry producing to immediate market demand, you will find that the production also has ups and downs through the year, fundamentally representing the seasonal variances. Now, therefore, and since we supply only for their direct usage, we are also subject to seasonal variances. But what does this mean? This means that we must have capacity to meet the peak requirement. So our built-up capacity is to peak capacity. It's a peak requirement. And therefore, if on an annual basis we achieve something like 70-75%, I think we would have achieved 100% realistic capacity utilization. Besides this, the capacity of these kind of lines depends on the thicknesses of materials you produce. If we were to produce, for example, only bodies for a refrigerator, which is thicker than the door, the liner, you would see that we could produce much more, but you can't have a fridge with only a body and no door. So since we have to supply in pairs, in sets, there is an automatic extrusion capability linkage. So because when you produce thinner, you produce less by weight. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, sir. And sir, going forward, are we going to only focus more on biax division, or are we planning capex for coax division as well?
We would certainly be focusing on both divisions. There is yet everybody is talking more about the biax expansion simply because it's more capital intensive. The routine expansions happen almost every year in the coax division 2. In the last 2 years, they were restricted simply because of the COVID situation. But I think with the industry coming back to norm, we should very soon be working on expansion at coax division also. And we will certainly come to you when we have concrete plan there in place.
Absolutely.
And so we will share the information.
Sure. So if I look at the revenue share of biax division of for last financial year, it's 129 crores. It's roughly around 27-28%. So is there any target that we have set that how much percentage of share should be from like 50-50 is our target 2 years down the line? Or is there any target that we have set?
Okay. We have already announced that we intend to add 2 more lines, right? Now, if I add 2 more lines, you'll see that when 2 massive lines come in, they actually give quantum jumps in turnover. So even assuming that the same level you will find within 5 years, 4 to 5 years, the turnover from the bioacquisition will triple, whereas the co-acquisition turnover would go at a more reasonable growth rate, keeping in line with the growth in industry. So you would see, yes, perhaps you are not very far off the mark when you say that we would like to see them both at 50-50.
Okay, and just one last question, sir. Our raw material is crude derivative. Is it crude derivative or raw materials?
Yes. All polymers are ultimately petroleum derivatives. So yes, whether it's our coex division or our biex division, our primary raw materials are petro products.
So how are we facing margin pressure? How are we tackling the margin pressures because of the higher crude price?
Right. Your question is most valid. In the plastics processing business, polymers business, it is the volatility in pricing which is the most critical. Now, we being an industrial producer in both our divisions have actually adopted a pass-through pricing policy. So barring minor time differences in implementing price changes, we are insulated because of our pass-through policies.
So you are not expecting any margin pressures?
Well, there are certainly margin pressures, but then they are, you know, they are transferred onto the customer, and our customer will transfer it onto his customer. So certainly if prices go roof high, somebody is going to have finally, the end customer has to pay the bill sometime, right?
Yes, and how much is the lag while passing it on to the our customers?
Sorry, sir, I missed that a bit. Can you repeat your question, please?
How much is the lag period? Like, do we pass it on quarterly, monthly?
No. Ours is, if it's small increases, it happens in weeks. If it's a massive increase, it happens in days.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much, Suraj.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, actually I'm attending your call for the first time, so pardon my ignorance of your business. But sir, if I look at the profitability, this year has been exceptional if I look at the past so many years in terms of the net profits and EBITDA. So in the initial remarks you said POPP is not actually, there is some difference between your business and typical POPP film manufacturers. So how is that? Because is it not cyclical? Your business is not cyclical as such in terms of the profitability aspect of it.
Okay. Thank you, Ashish. First point, it's certainly not your fault that you are attending our call for the first time. It's our fault because this is the first time we are doing an earnings.
Okay.
So anyway, welcome to the call. I hope we answer your questions. Now, the capacitor film business is not as cyclic a business as the packaging films. So we are not susceptible to that cyclicity. Your question, I think, more was, what happened when profits are currently better than they were earlier?
I think since 2011, there is hardly any profit, and suddenly I'm seeing 22. There is a drastic improvement.
If I may amplify, it's not sudden. You will see that over the last 3-4 years, there has been a gradual increase in profitability. It's steadily been going up. So that is one point I would like to emphasize. But now, what is this? This is the result of various steps. One, of course, is the correction of the inverted duty structure, which I outlined when I was talking about our business. Of course, that was a monologue and probably, it missed the point. So there was an earlier inverted duty case which hurt us. After that, it took us a couple of years to pull ourselves out of it, because in those initial years, you built up losses which needed to get taken care of. So that is one, is that situation is now corrected. In this period, we have also improved our products, and I think we are now definitely in the top league. I won't say only world class, I'll say we are in the top league of world class. So we are also deriving the value addition from that account. We are also into more value added end of this business. So that is also giving us a better profitability. Without doubt. And we believe this is sustainable, because we are still meeting only one third of the Indian market, and actually, or less than one third of the Indian market. And India really today needs four plants like us today, without looking at all those exciting new areas, without even looking at natural growth. So yes, there is a reason. There have also been a number of strategic initiatives which we have taken over the last 2-3 years. One of which includes even getting rid of some of our non-productive assets, which actually work as things, and I think we have more or less completed that exercise also.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, further to this, I mean, so you're saying that the profitability that we've achieved, more or less despite whatever happens on the raw material side, whether it goes up or down, this will be in a range, basically, maybe the EBITDA margins of, say, 14% that you're making, and the ROC target that you set you are having would be upwards of 20% ROC in this business, typically?
Definitely, we are working to an ROC target. Improvement in ROC has been a major target for our company. Over the last few years, we have had consistent improvement in operational performance. And the strategic initiatives which I told you towards legacy operations have resulted in ROC improving to well over 22. And this is not in any one business. In both businesses, the ROCs are well over 20%, which was our target at one point of time. And naturally, these targets are dynamic.
Okay. And so since you said you have one third of...
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Shen from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, if I look at your realizations per kg for the bikes division, it come out to be about Rs. 340 per kg. And for the coach division, it is about Rs. 140 rupees per kg. So, I mean, what kind of realizations are we having currently, and how do you expect them to be in the future?
Realizations are something that I would not like to go into in specific detail, simply from a competitive issue, because you can imagine, if I take the coax division, we do supply to everybody in the almost everybody in the refrigerator industry, and prices are obviously competitive, and prices are something that our competitors would love to hear. That said, let me also just address the Biax division. In the case of Biax division also, the price increases that you have seen or that people are seeing over the last couple of years is fundamentally because of two things. One, is a bit of it is due to the polymer price increase which gets reflected, and be towards our sharpening and moving towards higher value-added mix than earlier. Now, therefore, the average price that you see depends on multiple things. It depends on the product itself. What is the product? It's very loosely coax division, but then there are different types of sheets. So it depends on the material that the sheet is made of. It depends on the customer mix. It depends on the thickness mix or the specification mix. So I think that there are variances to it, but yes, remember two things. We follow a pass-through pricing policy by and large, one, and two, we have as a strategy been working on higher value-add products, and that is a strategy which we plan to certainly continue to work to. Prakashji, does that answer your question?
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Prasad from VP Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, a couple of questions.
If I look at the dielectric division, we don't have much revenue from exports. So could you talk about the export opportunity that we see probably few years down the line? And secondly,
sorry, you were saying something and I lost your voice, sir.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, if I look at dielectric division, there is nothing much we get in terms of revenue from exports. But you have talked about there's a lot of opportunity that we see in exports. So if you could just talk about the opportunity that we see in exports. And a few years down the line, if what percentage of our dielectric revenue we can expect from exports?
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Point number one is our product is certainly of world class and has been approved by a number of global customers as part of our strategic planning, point one. Point number two is we are already exporting a little bit. We are exporting we have chosen to export to a customer in the US and a customer in Germany. Fundamentally picking customers where there is a higher technical requirement, and actually through that we are also learning, and we have learned together with our customers over the last couple of years. We are already exporting between 7 to 8% of our output from the BIACS division, the dielectric films division. We would love to do more, and more importantly, there is great demand to do more. However, the country is a massive importer of these films. So on one end, we are making a statement that the company is today, the country is today importing more than 60 or almost 66% of its requirement. There is a lot of pressure for us to actually supply more to the domestic market rather than export. Notwithstanding that, we have chosen to export because we are sharpening our skills and honing our abilities by such exports, and which pays off for itself. As we have said, we are working on capacity addition, and certainly with fresh capacity coming in, we would be exporting more and more. As I said, we already have customers who are very interested, and yes, we are also working on arrangements of longer terms with some of those customers. Does that answer your question, Subhishan?
Yeah, sure. So you have mentioned that probably 67% of our country's demand is imports.
In the last year it was a little bit more than 67 also.
Right. So let's say we have the capacity ready today. Just assuming that. So I am assuming that out of 67%, not everything would be high grade. So if we have the capacity, how much out of this 67% we would be able to capture instantly?
Realistically speaking, we should be, if I had, let's say, God came down and told me, here's a plant running for you tomorrow morning. I think we should be able to sell every kilo that plant could produce tomorrow morning. This is a statement, and based on the market position as it prevails today. So between the Indian markets and export markets, optics is not a serious concern today.
Thank you. Vishal, I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from Lano Srinath, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. One is on your dielectric division expansion. Maybe in terms of, I guess you mentioned that it takes 2 to 4 years, just to understand, when does the first line come up next year? Would it be towards the second or third quarter next year? And considering the cash flows that you enjoy, do you think there's a scope for inorganic expansion as well? That's the first question. And the second question is on opportunity in the emerging areas. Does dielectric division get benefited with emerging sectors like electric vehicles? Thank you.
I didn't get your second part of the question. What was that about EVs? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, you get benefited with more electrification in the automotive industry, newer features coming through. Would we get indirectly benefited because of that?
Okay. So let me first take up your question regarding the dielectric film capacity expansion. As we have already said that we are working on two lines, one of which will come in earlier at Bachora rather than the other, you will appreciate that under global competitive circumstances, I'm not trying to put a date as to when we will start. Whenever we have sharper dates and we are ready to announce it, we'll happily come forward and put it. But we are working to plans, and I don't think we are behind on any of our plans as yet. That I guess competitive status allows me to state just that far. But that said, we are certainly open and in fact actively looking at inorganic growth. Now, unfortunately, the global situation today, whether we take the eastern part of the world or the western part of the world, the situation is not actually too conducive for us to pursue inorganic acquisition. You will appreciate that there is no material inorganic acquisition in the country itself that could help our position today. I mean, considering that we are the only producers of this product, material producers today, right? So we are certainly active. I won't just say we are alive, I'll say we are active to inorganic growth. Appropriate time, let's see. If something does come about, I think all of you, the investment community, will be the first to hear.
Sure, thank you, sir. On electrification.
Coming to the second part of your question, I think they're unrelated, but nonetheless, yes, without doubt, the growth in the EV segment, the growth in other non-conventional energy patterns, the growth in infrastructure and power distribution, all direct. Indirectly flow down to us because there is capacitors are needed for any of those growth areas, and the capacitor guy cannot make a capacitor without the capacitor film. I think I mentioned earlier in passing that over 50% of the cost structure of a capacitor was the capacitor film. So you can see how critical we are to that. I would also like to emphasize that in a capacitor, we are not just there. We are not packing or something. We are the capacitor. I mean, we form a core part of the dielectric medium. So there is no capacitor without a dielectric medium like ourselves. So yes, directly, whatever growth happens in the EV segment, in other kinds of storage applications, in, as I said, non-conventional, solar going up, all these segments will require massive distribution, massive transmission, massive storage, and all of which are going to ultimately boil down to more capacitor requirement and therefore more dielectric films. Also similarly things like power factor, capacitors and the like.
Yes, thank you, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Jain from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Pardon my ignorance. I just have one question. Since in the BOPP segment, we are the only producers in the country, so why has no one else been able to replicate? Do we have some advantage in this segment? That's my question.
Certainly, Vaibhav, we have built up skills and a knowledge base and an ability, the process capability over time. Not to say that nobody has looked at it, people have looked at it. I think the success parameters are very critical in this. It's not like, making milk packaging film where you buy a line and tomorrow you are producing film. This is a very, very difficult process. It's a specialized process, the parameters, the recipes, everything takes time to develop. And I think those are one of the reasons why you don't see too many in the world. you know, I tell you, I mean, there are just a handful of good producers in the Western world. China put up a number of plants, and many of those operators are just there. They're not producing good, you know, respectable quality films. So there is a skill to it. It's not as simple to what the skill is. And suddenly, on an investor call, I'm not going to define the skills and make life easy for somebody. You'll appreciate that, brother.
Sure. Okay. Just one more.
It's very specialized. As I said, even globally, there aren't very, very many players. Despite the fact that, and remember this, you cannot use electricity, you cannot think electricity, which is a famous line which I like to repeat oft, is that electricity in its current form cannot be used or distributed or transmitted without capacitors. So when you think electricity, capacitors are there, which means the dielectric film is there.
Sure, sure. And okay, sir. That I think that's good enough.
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, that answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we'll take that as the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to Mr. C. Bhaskar for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody. It was a pleasure to talk to you all. I hope we could address your questions, your concerns, and what our plans are going forward. I would just like to add and repeat what we keep saying in our annual reports, which is very recently issued, was the last one. Going forward, one will expect reasonably good momentum in our markets to continue. But in the prevailing macro environment situation, sudden volume or margin hiccups, you know, or disruptions cannot be ruled out. We would like to emphasize, as we believe, that the last 15 to 18 months, which a couple of you pointed out, have given us new benchmarks for operating and financial parameters that we can reasonably expect under steady conditions. There have been no hiccups in the recent past, and so, you know, that's what we sort of expect without making any forward-looking statement. If you require any further details, you may contact Orient Capital, other investor relations partners, or any of us, and to the extent we can answer your questions within the boundaries of competitive positions, we'll be only too happy to do so.
Thank you very much. In case of any further query, you may write to irfan.wain@linkintime.co.in. On behalf of Expo India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you, Irfan. Thank you, team.